Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 77 of the car wash. On today's episode, Baxter's back and the crew preview the upcoming Euros. Whether you are tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or MahiKing 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Aiden, and of course, I am not alone. I am also joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Sean Roberts. How are you doing, Sean-o?
Baxter's back.
All right.
I'm good.
Can we keep that in? Is there like going to be like a copyright strike for that? I knew one day you would use that against me.
Thank you.
As soon as I sent that voice note to you, I was like, nah, damn it. However, with us, we have Teko Modise, former Bafana Bafana, Orlando Pirates, and Mamelodi Sundown star. Teko, how's it going, my friend?
Great. Thanks, and you, sir?
Yes, sir. All good. As usual, the way we start off the show, it's a segment that belongs to big man Sean. It's time for the joke of the day. Mr. Roberts, what have you got for us this week?
Absolute perler. My girlfriend complains a lot that I don't smile anymore. Well, she's the one who wanted a serious relationship.
Wow.
Oh man, I just get better and better.
That's true for the last 3 weeks. From there, guys, from there we move into pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question, and we get voice note replies. This past week, we saw that Kaizer Chiefs and Stuart Baxter were in advanced contract talks about him rejoining Chiefs, and it has now been confirmed that Baxter will be reunited with the Amakhosi faithful. So we asked our supporters, is Stuart Baxter the right man for the job? And here is what you had to say.
Having Stuart Baxter coming back to Kaizer Chiefs, I think I'm okay with it because we have a coach that we know and we have the guarantee that he can do something.
Baxter, I think, is a good man for Chiefs because he's been there for Chiefs. He knows the culture.
I think it's a good thing. Stuart Baxter knows Kaizer Chiefs and he knows he's good on his job.
Yes, he is the right man for the job. I think it's a good thing since we tried to give other coaches a chance. Baba Kone, Ubuisa is the Kaizer Chiefs, but things didn't work out. Baxter is the only coach I think he knows Kaizer Chiefs better.
It's a good move for Chiefs, trying to balance between returning the glory at the very same time to build a new project.
I think bringing back Stuart Baxter to Naturena would be a good move for Kaizer Chiefs. He knows the culture of Kaizer Chiefs. He's been there. He's done it. He has won cups with Kaizer Chiefs.
Okay, guys. Stuart returning to Kaizer Chiefs after 6 years. He first joined them in the 2012-2013 season, spending 3 years at the club, winning the PSL title twice, as well as a Nedbank Cup and an MTN 8. Do you guys like this move? I mean, he'll be joining Molefi and Teki there. Surely the two of them together will be able to cause some problems for other teams next season. He knows how to win.
Sure. It's I can't believe it's 6 years ago that he was there. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I think someone in the previous recording there said in the pole position that he knows the culture, and I think that's very important. I think besides Kaizer Chiefs being a massive, massive club with its own pressures that come with that, without a doubt, but you understand the culture at the club. So there's certain egos and powers that be that he's going to come up against that he has before, and probably knows how to deal with them better than the predecessors.
Yeah.
So I would say that is obviously in his favour, having to know how to deal with that. I think it's a great move. I think if Stuart is given time to rebuild, which he's going to need, if Stuart is given an open checkbook in certain terms, if he is the guy that is going to call the shots, who's going to make the signings, I think we're in for a very, very exciting future with Kaizer Chiefs. And I do think he'll be given a certain leeway that possibly other coaches weren't. He's got nothing to prove to the fans. He's already achieved the Chiefs. But having said that, he's coming into a new challenge, a different challenge, a bizarre challenge, but it's a challenge which I think he's frothing at the mouth for. I think he's got, I think he feels he might have unfinished business in South Africa. And I think it's a great move for not just the Amakhosi faithful, but just SA football in general. He's well loved. He gets along with the press. He's well spoken. The players love him. It'll be interesting to see now in terms of your Willard Cutsanders, for example, who was clearly out of favour under Gavin Hunt. We know that Cutsander and Stewart had a great relationship before, and he's a big fan of him. So, you know, there's certain players we've had our doubts with in terms of contract extensions that we might see them get extended now, because Stewart will know what buttons to push and how to get the best out of them. And that goes for not just Willard, but a few other players at Kaizer Chiefs. So, yeah, massive signing. I hope he's given the time. I hope they're patient. I hope they're given him an open checkbook to say, you know, not like on a sundown scale, but and I hope Stewart gets to pick the players that he wants, because that's vital. And obviously his technical team, because I think we've spoken about that tackle in the past, that certain coaches aren't allowed their own technical team, but his son is already there, which is massive. Be interesting to see if Sheppy and Zwane stay. So I think it's great, not just for Chiefs, but certainly for SA football.
SA football, you say?
Soccer.
SA football. Hey, Aiden, look, man. I agree with Sean. I just feel like
for a change.
He win. I think with Stewart, because of what he has achieved, Kaizer Chiefs, and how Kaizer Chiefs fans felt when he was in charge and how the team was playing and all the excitement. I think he's the only coach right now that the management will respect and listen to in terms of even trying to change the squad. Because Stewart Baxter, even when he was there with all the success, he did say that he needs to change the squad because of the age group.
Mm.
And that didn't happen, and he, yes, probably maybe with other issues, but he left the team, and then he's back again. Now being back in a different situation where they need to offload the players, and he needs to have a say, and he needs to identify a player that needs to come in. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the Bobby Mdaung will always play that role of bringing in players.
Yeah.
I don't think in terms of the recruitment, things will change. I think Kaizer Chiefs go on and do things how they've been doing all these years. They just needed somebody that could buy into it, that trust the system as well. And Stewart Baxter does. And they respect him, the fans love him. And when Kaizer Chiefs, when he was there, you know, the last time he was there, Kaizer Chiefs fans were happy because of his success. And I think him coming back, yes, we need to add a little bit more of quality coaching within South African football. And he brings that into the game. And we're happy that he's back. And of course, the media loves the guy because of his accent. And because of his smart, and players tend to respond very well to him, you know. And within the Kaizer Chiefs fold, I think Jabulani Jabulani Blom, Yonobos, all the younger ones, I think they'll learn so much, you know. Their football will grow so much under such a coach. Because as much as you spoke about your Katsande having a great relationship with them, he was 27, 28 at the time.
Mm.
Yeah, now that you've got Jabulani Blom, that needs to make way. That's the reality of football. That needs to make a way. And you look at Jabulani Blom's stats, they're insane.
Stats.
And stats. Yes, statistics. And I think it gives. I think with all the players as well that are coming in, it's. I think it's a clean slate for everyone. I think with also the senior guys that have been playing within Kaizer Chiefs, that are still there. Your Benapaka, your Dumelin Kuna, I think it gives them a clean slate with the coach that they know and they understand. And I think also even with that coach, if he doesn't play them, I don't think there will be grief or there will be any player maybe, you know, acting somehow, because they know, they understand, they can have a relationship with it.
Well, they would have been communicated as to why they're not playing.
Exactly. And yeah. I think Kaizer Chiefs, they have done what they know that they should have done long time ago by bringing the coach back. And let's see, because Sean, as much as it was great before, Things happened before, because I remember when playing against Stuart Baxter's Kaizer Chiefs, it was a problem. And yeah, I remember we did the guard of honor for them, and they had to do it for us. So it was very challenging for us, but it was exciting times at that time. And let's hope that with his experience, the players will respond very well, especially the ones that they have. And with that, I think when Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, and Sundowns are on form, the league becomes so exciting.
Yeah, on fire.
And I've always said that we I'm a Mamelodi Sundowns guy, but I've always said that we need teams that can actually challenge Mamelodi Sundowns, because the more you challenge each other, the standard of football goes up. And that's what we want. We want high level football. We want high level competition. And I think for the last 3 years, they haven't been challenged. They haven't been pushed yet. And I think probably with Stuart coming back, you know, that might help a bit. And I think also because he has worked with so many players before, I think that will give a clear direction as which players to sign. Because sometimes Kaizer Chiefs sign emotional. They have got emotional signings. Yeah, last season we played you, scored two, we must sign you, must come here. So sometimes those type of signings don't work out. And I think with Stuart Baxter, because he's a coach of structure, he's a coach of a plan. Hopefully that will work out. But it will be very interesting for me to see Kaizer Chiefs come next season.
But what I'd like to see, Teko, just to jump in, is that Dylan Shepherd, Arthur Zwane do stay on as assistants, and there's no better teacher for two up and coming coaches like themselves, and hopefully we're witnessing now the next two Stuart Baxters, if you know what I mean, in Zwane and Shepherd. So I hope
that's good. That's a good point. I think that would be great. But also it look. It's just that, Sean, sometimes, you know, the politics in football, they mess up the good things. Shepi came with Coach Gavin Hunt. Will Kaizer Chiefs allow him to stay on and learn and be, you know, under the leadership of Stuart Baxter going forward, him with Arthur Zwane? Because they that the youth, the chances are they might be the future of the team. You know, and I hope that they'll let him stay, and that, you know, because they can form that bond, they can form that relationship, and yes, with the type of coach that they will be having, you know, they'll learn so much, and they can be, you know, a bridge between the coaches and the players themselves, because they're still young, they can relate to the players what they're going through. I just hope Kaizer Chiefs will see in that way. And I think probably maybe this will be the start of a new trend of having two assistant coaches and a coach going forward, where we know that when the coach doesn't do well, you have three heads actually that can actually plan the game.
Okay, guys, so I wanna stick with Chiefs here and react to some fixtures. Chiefs beat TS Galaxy 1-0, and if I'm not mistaken, helping them make top 8. What did you guys make of that game?
You are not mistaken. Yeah, pretty boring game. But hell of a result for Chiefs. 1-0 scraped victory, and they scrape into the top 8. It sort of sums up this season, I guess. Pretty unentertaining, but, you know, nice to see Novakovic on the score sheet again. But yeah, it's I think if Chiefs didn't finish top 8, that could also have been a deciding factor for Stuart, you know. Little things like that, another opportunity to win a cup. You never know how things swing, but that could have been the tipping point for Stuart to join as well. But yeah, it would have been devastating not to see Chiefs in the top 8, but glad to see them there. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. This, it's just thank you in the top 8. It would have been a bizarre one for next season, that's for sure.
Hey, they survived, eh? the last hurdle, then go in at the right time. But I think we spoke in a couple of episodes that it'll be great to see Kaizer Chiefs being in the top 8 come next season. You know, and they back into it, and we know the first fixture, Kaizer Chiefs versus Sundowns, a banger.
And how the season starts.
Yeah, number 8 plays number 1, Chief.
Wow. Always.
Always.
I'll take.
Sean, you used the word earlier, frothing.
Frothing. Frothing. Frothing.
No, but look, man, that tells you something, Sean. It's either the South African football this season was pop, or Kaizer Chiefs had a bigger heart. Kaizer Chiefs had one of their worst seasons in history. they were so inconsistent, were struggling, they couldn't sign, they couldn't do anything. We all know all the problems and stories were documented for everybody to see. Everybody else was having joy, you know, being in and out of top 8 and doing all this kind of stuff. On the last game of the season, KZN Chiefs managing to get top 8 spots. It's either the players that they have, they actually do have the quality, but they were struggling to find that unity and that rhythm where they could play as a team and find ways out to get results.
Mm-hmm.
Or the competition is pop in this league.
But Teko, just how do you go from literally winning the league, missing out on the last day, to seeing the Kaiser Chiefs we did this season? Like, what? It's literally the same. Well, it is the same squad. I don't know. I don't want to point fingers or anything at anyone, but how can you have such a drastic 180 in terms of form and belief?
Look, Sean, the thing is, with what happened last season, it's very difficult to come back from, especially within that short space of time.
Mm.
Because there were so many emotions that we invested in, and there's so much belief that we are going to win. At some point, we're 13 or 14 points ahead.
Mm.
So now, come last game of the season, they lose that. It's very difficult for them to come back. And now they had to move on. People expecting them to move on from that. You know, snap out of it, move on from that. Here's the new season. It doesn't work that way. It
doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. And I think if they had a moment or time where they could speak to somebody or share the frustration, because there was a frustration, not from just the players themselves. There was from everybody that was involved with KZN Chiefs, because they were hurt.
Yeah.
And now you have to pretend that you're not hurt and continue with the game. So that's why they were struggling, because I understand that. They struggled, but they started finding themselves, and what helped them find themselves was the continental football.
Mm.
But here's what I'm saying, Sean. It's with KZN Chiefs struggling this much, the way they were struggling, without KZN Chiefs have never had a consistent first 11 this season.
Mm.
They always had injuries or whatever the case might be. And then they come in, you know, last game of the season, you know, and Jay by hook or crook, they pack it inside, number 8.
I got it.
And then you look at all the teams that have been, you know, toying with the top 8 position. So Sean, my question to you is the league competition BAP or KZN Chiefs have the quality, but they just realized that late, and by KZN Chiefs realizing that type of quality late, it shows what they can do come next season?
So there's two sides. That's a good, very good question, Circle, but there's two sides of that. Like, so what differentiates a very good football player to a great football player? You know, and you look at all the great football players, and it's the ability to switch on and to switch off. So you've said that that they had a tough season last season, and you know, they didn't have anyone to talk to, and blah blah blah, and you can't, you know, people expect players to be robots, and that's true. But you look at someone like Tiger Woods, who is literally a robot. He's robotic. He's, in my opinion, the greatest sportsman that's ever lived. You look at Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, they can switch it on and they can switch it off. But that's what differentiates world-class to good. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a bunch of very good players that weren't able to get over what happened last season. And it's very rare you see great players in the PSL. Do you know what I mean? And it's very rare you see a team of great players in the PSL. And we're possibly seeing one with Sundowns, you know, in terms of continuity and that sort of stuff. But I do think Chiefs have the quality, Teko, without a doubt. But my question is, how do you define the quality? And I think an overall quality player has to get over those slams. They have to push forward. The next season's here, you've got to get results. And they didn't. So they're good players on the field, but maybe they're struggling mentally, if that makes sense.
But the thing is, Sean, for you to know how strong you are mentally, you need to be pushed in that direction at some point.
Sure.
And you have a lot of Kaizer Chiefs players that have never found themselves in a situation
but that where comes from within, Teko.
They stress. Yeah, I get what you mean.
It comes from within. You can't listen buy that.
It. Yes, listen to what I'm saying. Now you've got Kaizer Chiefs players that have been spoon-fed all their careers. Mm. They've been babysitted. They've been put. There was cushy in there. They've always been, you know. You know, put up there in a, where everybody was celebrating them, even things weren't going well.
Yeah.
So now this is the first time that they've been pushed into that direction. Where this is the first time where they've been criticized.
Yeah.
And this is the first time they were forced to do an introspection and look at their games. And now with these are the players that have never been for the last 10, 12 years. They've never been in that position before. So now we demanding that they need to look within and be able to switch on and switch off. That takes experience. They've never experienced this. So they need to know how to deal with this when this comes back again. So I believe that with what Kaizer Chiefs has went through, now that they have experience of having a bad patch for the whole season where everybody's on their back, they know what to do next season. Whether they will be successful or not, but they know how to deal with stress. Because this season, how they were dealing with stress was impossible to deal with that. You just move on and hope that it will just fade away. It didn't.
I agree. I agree to a certain extent. I do agree. But we have spoken about Kaizer Chiefs in general. They have, if you look at one of the teams that have a good balance of senior players and younger players. And I would have just thought that with the experience they have at Kaizer Chiefs, that the senior players could have maybe possibly pulled him through a bit more, or but again, we don't know what was happening behind closed doors.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't know. It's very easy for me to sit here and point fingers. Yeah, it's. I'll put it this way: Kaizer Chiefs eighth position, happy.
Kaizer Chiefs eighth position, not impressed.
Not impressed, but happy to see them there.
Yeah.
Boom. Good save, Sean. Good save.
Thank you. Top left.
First one in your career, I think.
Second,
fair enough. All right, guys. I'm very, very excited to see what the future holds for Chiefs. However, from there, we move swiftly forward into the international news desk. We are joined now by Sokola Duma's international news correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing, Kurt?
What's up, guys? What's up, Aiden?
Good.
Teko, Sean.
Hey, Kurt.
Everybody doing well?
Yeah.
Good, bro.
Miss you guys, man. Miss you guys.
Wish we could say the same.
Oh, wow.
Kurt, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Sean has woken up and he chose violence.
No, I heard. Sean killed the dog live on air. Live on air, Sean killed the dog.
Yeah, it's all good. He's in a happy place.
All right, Kurt.
What's up?
This Friday, time of recording tomorrow, Friday the 11th of June, marks the start of the European Championship. This was meant to take place last year, but obviously it couldn't because of the coronavirus and some dude ate a bat and all of that. But international.
Long story cut short, a guy.
Yes.
Chowed a bat's head and we're here.
International football is here. It is back in all of its might and glory. So, with that being said, who do you think, just straight off the bat, are the tournament favourites to lift the trophy?
I think it's very hard not to look at France as the tournament favourites. I think that everybody is trying to find somebody else to support and cheer for, but I think France, just given the strength of their squad, given the fact that they are world champions, given the fact that they made the 2016 Euro final, they've got world-class players in almost every single position. I think we're going to have to go with France there, Aiden. Those are certainly my favorites. I'd love to go with somebody else, but looking at France and the way they bossed Bulgaria the other day, I know it's just Bulgaria, but wow, they were strong. So I'm going to have to go with France, yeah.
And they have the chance to make history. Do you know that, Kurt?
If they and what's that, Sean?
So they can do the double-double for the second time. So they won the World Cup in
98, of course,
and
of course.
The Euros in 2000, and then 2018 out to 2020. Sorry, I'm just carrying this podcast with all my knowledge.
please. Just to say double-double, so you're carrying the podcast.
Yeah, I love the way you asked, do you know this, Kurt? Do you know this?
Yeah.
Smug.
Under the bus, bro.
So smug.
I love that. Okay. Well, we may as well, let's stick with France here, current FIFA World Cup champions, as we all know. Currently in the form of his life, in my opinion, Karim Benzema took a hard knock on Tuesday's game against Bulgaria. He limped off in the first half. Will this be a problem for the French outfit? You know, they still have Mbappe, Griezmann, and Olivier Giroud, who, interestingly enough, is actually only a few goals away from Henry's goal-scoring record with France.
Yeah.
Will Benzema not being there, whether being at the form situation, playing, scoring goals, or team's morale, will that be an issue?
No, so an update there, I think I read it, was it last night or this morning, is that Benzema's, it was just really a dead leg. I think he took a knock to his thigh and his muscle hardened. He probably felt
it's
it was
very painful.
Yeah. He probably felt it was a lot worse than it was, because he looked quite upset when he was sitting on the bench, and he was, you know, his head in his hands. He looked quite worried, and I think everybody was quite worried, but he should be fine. He should be fit to start their first game of the tournament, which is obviously a massive boost.
The first game's against Germany. Do you think he'll start there? Because what if that knock, yes, it's just a dead leg, what if it progressively gets worse and then he misses the tournament? Would Deschamps take the risk and start him?
No, I think he'll play. I think he'll play. And I think a dead leg, I mean, Teko, Sean, you guys will have
Aiden.
It's like how many Aiden. Days? Maybe like Aiden. 3 or 4 days?
Kurt, let me tell Aiden, a dead leg, my friend, is just a day and a half, you're okay.
Yeah, but you're okay, you can run, but you still feel it. It's still there.
You still
the
feel it, but you can
there,
run.
But it's, yeah, you can operate, yeah, for sure.
You can play.
Aiden played water polo, guys. So.
Yeah.
And ballet.
Why are you hating on ballet? That's not true, though. I didn't do
not
ballet.
Hating, bro. Okay. Hating. Just saying you did ballet.
Thanks, Sean. I love you, too.
Good. Just a question for you, buddy. What do you think of Group F?
Well, the Group F, well, I don't have them in front of me, Teko.
Group F is Portugal.
The group of death.
Yeah, the group of death.
France, Hungary, Germany.
Oh. Hungary, Germany.
Guys, that's where the football is. I mean, one of those big sides aren't making it through. If I was going to put money on one of the big teams to not go through, which is obviously what will be the case, I'm going to go with Germany, but... I think France and Portugal are too strong.
Go have coffee. Go have coffee, my friend.
I'm sipping on coffee right now, Teko, and it's never tasted better, honestly. Yeah. I'm speaking facts right now.
Yeah. Facts.
Why, Teko? What's your take on that? Is Germany one of your favorites for the tournament?
Yeah. The reason is I've looked at how Germany plays in such big tournaments. They're very slow starters.
That's true.
And then they always find ways and how to perform well. And I don't think I don't remember them being the out and out favorites for any tournament.
Mm.
And you look at the age group, especially right now with a little bit of mixture and with that experience. I think they do stand a chance, and they're in this group of death where they have to survive. If they can survive this group, then I think for me things are a bit easy, because yes, we do have Portugal that has probably maybe one of the most talented this time around, but we know that the old man will be doing free kicks and throw-ins, header, penalty.
I like how we all know who you're talking about when you said the old man.
Yeah, he'll be doing all those type of stuff. But it just did for me. I've got my two favorites. It will be, of course, France because of the squad that they have, and with Germany, I really love to see. And also the outside chance, Belgium. They always
England.
Be underdogs.
Come on, England.
England, my friend. That guy selected 4 right backs.
Come on, England.
No, England. I think Belgium has an outside chance. They do have an opportunity to win this, but if they can't win this, they'll never win anything else.
Yeah, this is the generation, man.
Yeah.
One team nobody has mentioned are Italy. People are sleeping on Italy at the moment. They have to be the dark horses of this tournament. They're currently,
I actually agree with you.
They're currently on a 27-game unbeaten streak. They haven't lost a game since September 2018. They've conceded 7 goals in those 27 games. They've scored 75 in those 27 games. They have a mixture of experience. They have crazy young talent as well.
Mm.
Surely they stand a chance?
Of course.
I actually think so, Aiden. I think that, I mean, I think Italy were, when did they were runners up in 2012, and they haven't won a Euro. They've won it once, and I think it was only in 1968. But I would agree with you. I think that if anybody is going to be my dark horse for the Euro, I'm going to go with Italy. And I think that Roberto Mancini has done excellently since being given the job. I think they're playing some good football. Like you mentioned, Aiden, there's a mixture of experience and youth. I feel like they actually play quite attractive football. Their midfield is very, very solid with Marco Verratti and Jorginho and Nicolò Barella. Locatelli is this youngster that I think he was on Juventus' or AC Milan's books a few years ago, who all the big clubs are after. Manuel Locatelli has been at Sassuolo this season, and I think he's about to leave them, so watch out for that kid in particular. And then Federico Chiesa from Juventus, who's had a fantastic season. And you know what? They won't mind not being in the discussion at all. There'll be no pressure on Italy at this tournament, but I think that they really could go far. I really do believe so.
Good call.
Yes, there we go. Okay, Kurt. So, the other day, I happened to be scrolling on the interweb, and I was on Instagram, and I saw that you had a Zoom sit-down with Mitch Matiana.
That's true.
Do you really think football is going home?
You know what? I know that Teco and Sean, or Teco especially, will not like this, but I actually do think England have a very good chance of winning this tournament.
I told you.
I really do. I really, really believe that. I think they have one of the best attacks at the tournament. They have one of the best sides. It's a little top heavy.
And the worst defense.
No, but I was about to say, Teco, I think it's a little top heavy. That midfield, you wouldn't really put that midfield against like the best midfields in the world either, with I think it's Declan Rice and Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips. It's not the best midfield. It's industrious. I think those guys will work, but if England can rely on those guys up top, like Harry Kane and Jack Grealish and Mason Mount and Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling, I mean, those are some big names. And look, Southgate is a conservative coach. He will want his defense to be solid. And I think England, since Southgate has taken over, have been very solid defensively. It's difficult to strike that balance, I think, because Southgate, like I just said, is conservative, but you've got this, like, incredible attacking contingent that you need to rely on to score goals. I don't think England are going to come out and play this fantastic attacking, entertaining football. It's a tournament after all, and a 1-0 will do. So I don't think Southgate is going to risk it. I don't think he's going to throw away everything he believes in for this tournament, or just to entertain some unhappy England fans. But I do really believe they have a chance. I think they have one of the best squads at the tournament. I really do.
Thank you, Chris.
All that I can say is, if any team are attacking England, do not go down England's right-hand side, because they've got four players there. However, going back to, as Teco Modise said, the old man, Kurt, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's still kicking and he's still alive. He is only 5 goals away from equaling Ali Dai's world record of 109 international goals. So, wow. 5 to equal, 6 to break.
Yeah.
With Portugal being in this so-called proverbial group of death with France, Germany, and Hungary, do you think he will be able to break this record and make history?
Not at the tournament. No. I don't think he'll do it at the tournament, Aiden. I think it's very rare that you see a player scoring, I mean, Ronaldo, I don't think he's ever hit more than 4 goals at a major tournament, or 5 goals at a major tournament. So I don't see it happening. Portugal would probably have to go the distance. They would probably have to get right up to the semi-final final for that to happen. I think that, my point, and Teco might appreciate this, but my point on Ronaldo's international record is, I mean, he's got 104 goals, which is, you know, phenomenal, but come on, let's just look at the countries that Portugal get to play every few years. Come on, guys. Luxembourg come on, guys. Let's be real. Those aren't professional footballers.
They're carpenters.
Amazing. However, Kurt, thank you so much for the international news breakdown. Soccer Doom international news correspondent, have a fantastic day further.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Curtie.
Thanks, Curtie.
Moving on, Teko, I want to get your opinion on this because I know we spoke about this at length. I think it was two podcasts ago, probably the previous one. Benny McCarthy getting Coach of the Year award. And I know you expressed your opinion, which was valid, in terms of how can you give a coach the Coach of the Year award if he didn't win the league? And this is exactly what has happened. What is your feeling on this?
I got a feeling. Sean.
Yeah.
Look, Sean, we can have this discussion. I think it'll take us the whole day because we don't understand the criteria, and we've always asked.
Yeah.
I think one day we need to bring in somebody that can actually come and help us as to how they get to that conclusion and decision, because
mm-hmm.
Benny had a great season, right? No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's big is we've never seen AmaZulu being in this position before. This is the team that was fighting relegation last season. This is even the previous season. So there's a history of AmaZulu fighting relegation all the time. And Benny comes in with a new owner, they change things around, and here they are playing continental football.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, you've got a team that has been number one the whole season. They were just knocked off number one for, 18 hours? They were back in number one position again until they finished off. They won the league with 3 games to go. How is that a coach of the season? Mm. I just strongly believe that, or maybe because, I don't know, if you've been selected by many points accumulated, Sundowns is number one. Maybe they didn't have 3 trophies to give it to them, so they opted to give to Benny, because he's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sundowns is 3 coaches, which is very confusing at times. But the truth of the matter is, Benny deserves something. AmaZulu deserves something, and they got what they deserved, which is to play Confederation football.
Yeah.
Champions League.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's where we want to see football going. We want to see more coaches, more players getting exposure in that level.
Mm.
So that when they come back, you know, the competition becomes, the league becomes stronger and stronger. Taking nothing away from Benny, taking nothing away from his achievements.
Sure.
I strongly believe Mangoba Mngethi was supposed to get.
Yeah. I think people maybe just got excited about what actually happened at AmaZulu in such a short space of time. And again, taking nothing away from Benny and his assistants.
Mm.
But yeah, it is a weird one, and it is a great accomplishment from AmaZulu, without a doubt. It's amazing, and I hope they continue their form, and I hope they push Sundowns next season, and Chiefs, and whoever else is going to be there. But it's a bizarre one. It is a bizarre one.
Look, man, I remember when that happened, when those announcements happened, I remember receiving a call from one of the Mamelodi Sundowns fans that I know is a diehard. He was so called me like, how can they not give Mangoba coach of the season? And I was driving, so he was on the Bluetooth. Dude, that guy was making so much. He was but I said to him the same thing, that it's just that we don't know what the criteria are. You might find that Benny wins because of the criteria that
sure.
they used to win to select coaches. But
again, we don't know what that is.
We don't know because they don't come out but if you look, Sean, every season there's always debates about this one could have won, this one shouldn't have won, because you if you remember as well, at some point I think I raised this when Swallows were given. I don't know, they were given Q what they won the Q something or the coach won the coach of the month, and at that time Mamelodi Sundowns were 2-3 games behind. They haven't played equal games with the coach that won coach of the month, so how do you give him coach of the month unless mathematically the Sundowns won't even reach those numbers? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's just that I feel like sometimes in South Africa, when something is too much, we don't pay attention to it. We feel like we need to give others a chance, but we're not understanding that there's work that's been put in. Look, Benny worked his ass off to get AmaZulu where it is today. If then that's the case, then have an add more trophies, you know, surprise team of the season.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the case might be, team of the season. You know, because whatever the case might be, but add on to the trophy so that you can give people trophies that they truly deserve. Because if you say Ben is the coach of the season, how many points does AmaZulu have? How many points does Sundowns have? How many games won? How many games? Salah's lost one. Sundowns lost one game.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
But it would be great, man, to start being open and we don't care who wins and who doesn't, because it's always going to be deep. But let's allow us to have that type of debate by giving us those stats. Why is that? Is this coach being chosen and all that type of stuff? Because now we can have this, because at the end of the day, you're helping the fans to understand.
Yeah.
You're teaching the fans. So if the fans understand the game better, then we grow. You know, but then they don't let us know what all the insights are, and then they just gonna let us argue or go on about it, and then we're gonna forget and continue and do the same shit again. You know,
good point, bro. I just want to touch on it, Adam, before we go to football history. The tragic passing of Thulani Tuswa, Teko. I don't know if you ever dealt with him, but
yeah,
I certainly did. But yeah, unbelievable. I think he passed away on Sunday, I believe, in a car accident. I think he was a media officer at Sundowns, and he started his own sports agency as well. He had a nice group of players and doing some good things in the football space. And yeah, our condolences to the family and lots of love. Terrible news.
Yeah, man, condolences to the family. And he was loved. He was
one of the good ones.
One of the good guys. He's always in a happy mood. He's always making jokes. He was a fun guy to hang around with. And at a young age, with the experience that he had within the media space, was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of those guys that were really, really good at what they were doing. Thulani was very good at what he does.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of those guys that's just big mouth, no action. Thulani was actually doing what he was saying.
Mm.
And it's just unfortunate that we lost him at a young age. And condolences to the family and to those who he was currently working with. And
Rest in peace.
However, moving forward, it's now time for This Week in Football History.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week in 1997, Roberto Carlos broke the laws of physics with his outrageous free kick against France. His run-up was similar to that of a half marathon, but my word, did it pay off. You remember that?
Yeah,
outside of the foot.
That ball was popped, my friend.
maybe he flattened it, but it was worth it. Look at that. And also this week in 1968, funny this fact actually is coming into the show, because Kurt mentioned Italy winning the Euros. Italy became the only team to win the Euros in a replayed final. They faced off against Yugoslavia. The game went into extra time and what, and it finished at 1-1. The match then had to be replayed with Italy winning. It was quite fitting that Kurt happened to bring it up previously in the international section. And lastly, sticking with the Euros theme, this week in 2004, the Euros kicked off with tournament favourite Portugal coming up against Greece. Greece won that match 1-0. But the reason this match is significant is because the opening match of this tournament and the final of this tournament featured both Portugal and Greece, and the result was the same. Greece won both. That's never happened before in European history. But another interesting fact about Europe, their favorite mode of transport is public transport. How does this make you feel, Sean, knowing that cars aren't really, you know, the favorite mode of transport?
Is that the intro into Car of the
Speaking
Week?
Of cars.
It's honestly getting worse and worse. We need to work on this, Alan. Wow. Anyway.
I could see that coming from a mile away.
But it could only be seen on a train, though, right?
Exactly. Given Simango. New Polo R line, the Volkswagen Polo R line. It is a sportified super mini that previews a potential full strength Polo R via an insurance friendly trim level. Your only engine choice is a 1.2 litre turbo petrol matted to a 6-speed manual gearbox. The engine is one of VW's best. In fact, it happily revs past 6,000 revs per minute and possesses an even spread of shove. It steers keenly, handles tightly,
and is predictable and relatively satisfying car to drive briskly. It just doesn't entertain like some of its rivals can, but you can't argue with its refinement. Starting at about 350,000 Rand upwards, for me, VW is always a winner. I give it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
I do.
Your cars are not dropping below 7, hey, Sean?
No. Well, they do. I mean, I haven't had a Skoda or a...
Tesla.
A Tesla. We got one of those to go.
Sean, can you please stay on the mic for us and provide a motivational quote? Let's motivate the nation. Bafana is coming up against Uganda tonight on Thursday the 10th, I believe. Let's hear what you have to say.
Lala K, Sundance champion, says the highest human act is to inspire.
Yeah, clean.
Short clean. And sweet, like Teiko.
Yeah. Sweet and short.
Sweet and short.
Yes.
Sean, what do you, what? Sweet and sour.
I'm just gifted, man.
And on that note, that is how we wrap up episode 77 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been listening on slpodcast.co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you so much for tuning in. I've been your host, Aiden. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you kindly.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Away.
We will see you all same time, same place next week. Peace out.
Thank you.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Slangana car.